Hello and welcome to the Substance of Life Experience podcast. Today we are joined with the lovely Ashley Anderson.
Hello everybody.
Ah, we are excited to be here because you know it is the month of March and it is Women's History Month. And I'm excited.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yes, women. Yes. We get a whole month.
A whole month.
31 days.
But you know what? It didn't always start that way. It was, and of course, you know, audience, we always ask that you go and you do your own research.
Right.
It started out as just a week, you know, and I did some research. It started out as a week. It started out in California and it mushroomed. And this was back in the 70s.
I didn't know we only had a week.
We only had a week. But I'm finding out more and more for these months that we deem to be special months.
Yes.
They always start out as just a week.
Wow.
Or maybe a day. And then they mushroom into bigger things, which I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. Some might even say that it was like a derivative of the feminist movement, because this month was the month that the suffrage movement became more active back in the day. And I had to do some research on that because, you know, these topics are just not taught at school.
No, they're not discussed at all.
And unless, of course, you're in college and you happen to take a feminist movement course.
Right.
It is not going to be the topic of conversation because today women can vote.
Right. And it's not going to be a topic of conversation in your traditional history classes.
Exactly.
Even though it is a part of history.
Yes. It's like kind of, we're going to touch it, we're going to mention it, but we're really not going to go into detail.
Right.
And unless some student does a fabulous paper, mm-hmm. it's not going to be talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, all things start with a movement, and it was supposedly the feminist movement or the suffrage movement to get women to vote.
I love that.
You know, because we did not have the right to vote.
We didn't.
And it was something that a lot of women felt passionate about. Something else I found out in history about this particular time period was when we look at our Divine Nine, we have Alpha Kappa Alpha and we have Delta Sigma Theta.
Yes.
Delta Sigma Theta was a spinoff of Alpha Kappa Alpha.
Yes.
And their disagreement was the suffrage movement.
Really? Okay. Now, that I did not know.
The suffrage movement, yeah.
I thought it was some type of conflict of power. That was the impression that I was under. Like, somebody was a part of Alpha Kappa Alpha, and they were like, you know what? Bump this. I'm going to make my own.
Okay. Because back in those days, it was, and here's where you'll hear that phrase or a sentence or a coin of turn, a phrase about them splitting is because back then we were fighting just for African Americans to be able to vote and to be able to be recognized when going into a voting establishment.
Or just basic human rights.
Yes. yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Basic human rights. So here now you want to split it and just veer off into women's right to vote. So there was that controversy. I can only imagine how Howard's campus looked.
I could only imagine how Howard's campus looked.
Yeah, during that time period. It was like you had these two powerful groups of women. And, you know, that's how they split off because of the suffrage movement. Alpha Kappa Alpha felt, well, and this is just in history text, go look it up, that, you know, that's not our fight at this moment in time. And those women who founded Delta Sigma Theta felt that it was. And hence the two groups split and Delta Sigma Theta was formed. So,
wow. Honestly, I think that the split probably ended up being a really great thing.
Yes.
Because I understand both sides.
Yes.
I understand that at the time of women's suffrage and the feminist movement, we as Black people did have another priority that was very pressing as far as rights go. However, if Delta Sigma Theta did not emerge and decide, no, this is a part of our fight, we would have had no body in our demographic fighting that fight for us.
Exactly.
Because it still was our fight.
Yes.
Because if you think about it, there was a point in time, what is it called? I don't want to say the wrong name. I think it's like the 3/8 rule. Like,
yes. Yeah,
our vote was only a fraction of a vote.
And exactly.
Black women were not voting. It was just black men. And it was only worth 3/8 of a vote.
So
it very much so was our fight. It was our problem.
I look at all of that and I say to myself, it was a good thing.
Because, I think it's a great thing, yeah.
Yeah, because now we've got two fronts that we're fighting on. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, we were able to achieve the ultimate goal, which was African Americans could vote. Mm-hmm. Women could vote. Mm-hmm. African American women could vote.
Yes.
So, you know, Women's History Month has a different meaning, or had a different meaning for me, where that was the topic. Then as we go into the 60s and the 70s, it seemed that we were kind of left out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow.
We were.
You didn't really hear a whole lot about the women's movement. Or, I will say this, we saw on television only white women in the news talking about the feminist movement, talking about work equality. And, you know, it's kind of strange because that's something that we have been fighting for quite some time in the black community.
Period.
Yeah, period. Exactly. Period.
I just think that it was almost, what is the word I'm looking for? Orchestrated that way. Like it was intentional.
Really?
I do. Think about it. Black people are now getting rights. And now these white women are like, well, we still don't have any rights. So now we're going to start a movement.
Yes.
Right in the middle of our movement.
Yes.
So you're upset that black people are getting rights. So you as white women were like, oh no, we can't be left out. And I'm not saying that, you know, you should have been left out the loop. No. But, you know, y'all could have waited for your movement.
Well, and it's funny because...
could have held off.
They called it...
Let us finish ours.
The Women's Suffrage Party. And they had 12 reasons why women should vote. And they listed these reasons in a magazine. And, you know, if you ever get the opportunity to go to New York City, it's in a museum. It's listed in the museum. And it lists the 12 reasons, or go online and you can look at the 12 reasons why women should vote. And this was back in, what was it, the 19th century? I know, yeah, the 19th century, early 19th century. It's just really interesting when you read the 12 reasons why they said, and I'm just going to go through a few of them. It says, because the laws which affect women are now passed without consulting them.
I love that. And they still are.
Absolutely. Okay. Because the laws which affect women, mm-hmm. you know, you're creating these laws, but you're not including me in them.
Thank you. How do you get to have a say over an organ you don't have?
Thank you. And what type of care I may or may not need.
Thank you.
And it's my body.
And you are not a gynecologist.
Exactly. So I just, you know, as I was reading and I did my history, I'm like, well, that's a very good point there.
we're still trying to fight for that
one. We're still fighting for that one, unfortunately. You know, it's laws affecting children should be regarded from the woman's point of view as well as the man's point of view. And that's saying simply as parents, you know, we both got to say so. Don't right. just come throwing everything on my plate.
Right.
For the first 10 years of this child's life.
Right.
Okay. Because those are considered to be the tender years, if you will.
And the interesting thing is that you're only consulting men about the matters of children. But during those times, women were the main ones taking care of the children.
Exactly. They were the main caregivers, because even in the 19th century, we still had that dynamic that women stayed home and men went out and worked every day.
The traditional gender
exactly.
role.
Exactly. Number five, and I like it, because questions affecting the home come up for consideration in every session of legislation in Congress. I guess what they were saying, basically, is, yeah, back then we really didn't have female representation in Congress.
No, we didn't.
So everything that was being created was being created by men. Number seven, because to deprive women of the vote is to lower their position in the common, it looks like it says estimation. But I think number seven, what it's simply saying is that, you know, you're lowering our position in society.
They were. Well, think about it. When we finally did start getting getting some representation in Congress, that woman was probably silenced. Could you imagine being one of the first women holding political power in a room full of men? First of all, they don't want you there. Second of all, they're pissed that you made it there. Third of all, they're going to keep you as silent as humanly possible.
I look at the behavior of some of our representatives today.
Yes.
And I can only imagine how being the only female in a congressional seat at that time must have felt. Because if you treat fellow men that way in Congress and in the Senate today, you're right. I can only imagine, you know, how she must have felt when she walked into the room.
That had to be an everyday battle.
Yes.
Like, that had to be an ongoing fight of being mistreated, having passive aggressiveness thrown, you know,
thrown in your face,
thrown in your
every
face.
Day.
Right. And she had to make some serious
yes.
strides.
And
she had to go through some serious battles.
You know, our congressional layout, the format of Congress, the buildings on Capitol Hill hasn't changed a whole lot. I only know that because I've gone there and I've gone inside the bathrooms and mm-hmm. I'm like, my God, this place has not changed since the 19th century. No, seriously.
I still know it.
No, because some of the bathrooms still have radiators in them.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, they still have radiators for heat and they still have the center blocks.
You know, but historic buildings love to keep the historicness
yeah, well,
of
I'm
the
like,
building.
Certain things you need to change.
Right.
So I'm imagining that, you know, they had to make a special bathroom for her.
Yes.
Because there wasn't one.
Yes.
So it makes you think. So I don't take anything for granted. And I thank the women who came before me, who fought so that I do have the right to cast my vote. I
yes.
do have the right to run for Congress. I think that it's an awesome thing. And I'm looking forward to more and more women being involved in the legislator process than we have today. We should,
yeah.
It should be an equal footing, if you will.
It should be.
You know, it shouldn't be, oh, well, we're in the minority or, oh, well, you know, you got to go down the floor to the left in order to go to the bathroom because we don't have a lot of female
right.
restrooms in Congress. So just a tidbit.
Make things more convenient for us. Make some room for us.
Exactly. Make some room. Okay. Make a
Adjust.
Little room. So when I think of Women's History Month, there are several women that I could just rattle off that have made strides in the United States and across the world. And I will
yeah.
say across the world. And I did some research. And I'm going to do some Hollyweird fact to
Ooh, it's
fiction.
It's going to be fun.
Yes, Hollyweird fact to fiction that a lot of people probably didn't know. So one of the women that I'm going to choose to discuss this month is Queen Sophie Charlotte of Mecklenburg. And I know some of you out there going, who the heck is Queen Sophie Charlotte of Mecklenburg? She is the great, 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 I think it's like five greats in there, grandmother of Queen Elizabeth, today's Queen Elizabeth.
That's crazy.
Of the royal bloodline. And she also holds the title of the first Black Queen of England.
Yes.
Now, why am I bringing this up? Well, if you go and you search her history, you'll find out that there were Moors in her bloodline. And back in the 17th and 18th century, I think it's 1800s, the word more meant black, that you were part of a black bloodline.
Didn't know that.
Yes, indeed. And her relatives were more on the Spanish side of the fence. So she got married, sight unseen, to the, who was the prince? He might have been, was he king then? I think he was the prince of Germany.
Of all the countries.
Of all the countries. Yes, of Germany. And she was 17 years old when she got married. Now, this is what leads me to believe that, yeah, that bloodline, that African bloodline somewhere in there.
Oh, yeah.
When you look at her pictures, you look at her features, you look at her comeliness, her color, and you look at her eyes and her nose and her lips. And
she's beautiful.
Yeah, she's absolutely stunning. But they resemble African features.
Yes.
And growing up, royalty, you know, you were taught certain things because you would have to entertain heads of state.
Yes.
And other royal courts. And, you know, in her realm, they didn't teach her the traditional things. She did have private tutors who were priests, but she was also taught botany.
Really?
I know. That's what I said when I read it. I'm like,
of botany? All things?
Of all things, botany.
Why was that important?
Exactly. Well, you know, botany, really? But she was taught botany, and she had a love of the arts. So where am I going with this? Well, Queen Charlotte, fast forward, and I'm going to tie this into, you have to go and look at the movie. Because if you don't look at, oh God.
What movie?
The one that Shonda Rhimes has produced. So if you go and watch The Bridgertons, you will notice that there's this regal African-American woman sitting on the throne. And she is playing the part of Queen Charlotte, the wife and queen of England.
Yes.
But she was married to, they call him Mad King. Well, he was mad.
He was mad.
I think he suffered from dementia and Alzheimer's and had his moments. But of course, you know, back then they didn't have a diagnosis for it. It was like, the man is crazy.
He's just crazy.
Like, yeah.
You know, it's funny. I didn't know he had a black wife.
He had a black wife.
I knew nothing about Queen
Sophie. Of course
Charlotte.
Not. Why would we teach you that in school?
Wow.
Yes, that was his wife. And she ran the queen of, she became the queen of England, and she ran his affairs because he was incompetent to do so.
I'm weak. Stop. Wait a minute. I got to rack my brain for a second. So she was really the king, is what you're telling me.
Exactly. She was really the king. And when you look at the Bridgertons, and a true family, by the way, true family, it talks about Queen Sophie Charlotte. And yeah, as I said earlier, they were married at the age of 17. She, you know, came over and said, hey, I'm here. And arrived, met each other for like all of 5-10 minutes. Go put on your wedding gown. It's time to get busy.
Could you imagine?
Oh, my God.
If that's how we still got married.
I would be in tears all the time.
I am 26, and the thought of marriage gives me gas. So, like, I can imagine.
As you are walking down the aisle.
At 17?
17 years old.
And then, of course, you know, she started having kids almost immediately.
Okay, so that in and of itself was a spectacular feat. And where am I going with that? Not only did she start having children, she had 15 kids.
Ooh.
She had, okay, so imagine for the first 15 years of your marriage, you're popping them out one at a time.
Right.
And you're royalty.
Well, thank God she's royalty. At least she had help.
Yeah, she had lots of help. She had 15 children, two of which did not live to enjoy the fruits of being royalty. But she had 15 kids. And, you know, she was a lover of the arts. And today's Buckingham Palace is attributed to her and her architecture.
Oh, that's cool.
Her architectural background and wanting to have a grand palace. She was the one that designed and commissioned Buckingham Palace, the Buckingham Palace that we know today in the 21st century.
Wow.
So for me, I found that to be very interesting because she was taught certain skills, not the same skills that a man would get in the 18th century.
Right.
But she picked some of those up. She did commission Mozart, and you know, people are like, wow. So why? Well, because he was German, duh.
Right.
And so was she.
And he's Mozart.
Yes, and he's Mozart. So she commissioned a couple of pieces. And her summer home was a place called Kew Gardens. That's spelled K-E-W, Gardens. And it is still there in England today. It is the most spectacular gardens that you have ever seen. And what made the connection between Queen Sophie and myself so great, living in New York, taking the N train, we have a stop called Kew Gardens.
I knew that sounded familiar.
Yes. And it is, it was designed, that whole area was designed to mimic and look like the Kew Gardens in Great Britain.
That's cool.
So, you know, why this particular person? Because she ran a country. She is the longest reigning queen. Well, I don't know, because Queen Elizabeth is still alive. She is one of the longest reigning queens of Great Britain.
And she sounds very underrated, because yes. I learned a ton about her just from this conversation.
Yes, very underrated. But all of the grandeur and design of the palace was attributed to her.
Yes.
Yes, was attributed to her. For me, I found it to be a history repeating itself. I thought about Meghan Markle.
Listen, okay, this is nothing like a black woman sitting on a throne.
Okay, so.
Because she even told her husband he had to get a job and figure it out and get it together because only a black woman will.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, no, we all have to work. I don't understand where that's going.
I don't understand.
But it was just looking at that and looking at history and looking at this 17-year-old woman. This was a time period when Britain was very prosperous, when she was queen.
Right.
And she reigned for, I want to say, over 50 years.
They were always a powerful country.
Yes, well over 50 years. In fact, she was one of the ones who wrote letters to our presidents in the United States protesting slavery.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, do your homework. Don't just take what I'm saying, you know, with a grain of salt.
The queen of the country
yes.
that colonized us.
Yes.
Wrote letters to our presidents.
Yes. Saying.
To detest slavery.
To detest slavery. Exactly.
That
says a lot, doesn't it?
It's like. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, that says an awful lot.
The queen of one of the most powerful countries in history.
I would love to read those letters.
I would love to read those letters as well.
I was in doing some of my research. I went online and I found a book that was commissioned, which is Queen Sophie's Memoirs. And you can read it online today for free because it was written in the 1800s.
Oh man, that thing is probably tough to get through.
Well, it's online and you can go to the online portion of the Library of Congress
mm-hmm.
and pull it up and actually read it because the copyrights have expired.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
So it's available and it talks about her lineage. It talks about her children. It talks about her ruling England. It talks about her and commissioning Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart to do a couple of pieces on her behalf. And it talks about the construction of Kew Gardens. So, you know, and her genealogical background of where she came from and what she was taught and how she was taught. But, you know, I look at it and I look at it from a biblical perspective. Nobody expected Esther to do what she did.
Come on now. And that's why there are some copies of the Bible that don't have the book of Esther in it.
Yes. Yes.
Because it is a powerful book.
It is a very powerful
book.
And
for those who haven't read it, get you a copy of the Apocrypha and go ahead and read it.
Exactly.
Because it is absolutely. But it just goes to show, and I think it really breaks up the misconceptions of what a queen does.
Yes.
And even too, from a biblical standpoint, I love that you brought that up. Me and some friends have recently been studying Proverbs 31, which personally, I hate that proverb. I'm so sick of hearing it. You know, growing up in church my whole life, every woman's conference, it's how to be a Proverbs 31 woman. But one thing that one of my friends brought to mind was,
you know, that's my sorority's motto.
Is it? God, I'm not even surprised. I mean, I respect that proverb because it's very powerful.
But you hear it all the time.
But you hear it all the time. Also, but it's mistaught a lot. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, it is talking about a queen.
Mm-hmm.
How a queen acts. And one of the greatest scriptures in that proverb that we often miss is how she goes and shops and buys land with her own money.
Mm-hmm.
How she handles affairs.
Mm-hmm.
How she stands in faith for the king. Like, we miss that part. I think a lot of times culture, we've taken that scripture and the man's got to provide and provision is what he provides. But, you know, we know what vision means, and pro means forward vision. So he's just got the vision,
mm-hmm.
and he can just see ahead of it. But it's up to us to execute it.
Queen Sophie.
And Queen Sophie surely did.
Queen Sophie. And she was a Christian.
Wow.
Queen Sophie.
I think a lot of people think that the queen is just the baby maker.
No. And she did that too.
And she did that too. Yes. She did that too.
She did that
too. He gave her a seed and she gave it back 15-fold.
15-fold. Okay. Exactly. And there were male and female children. So she not only gave him an heir to the throne, she gave him a pick of an heir to the throne.
Yeah.
So I chose Queen Sophie Charlotte of Mecklenburg.
She's an excellent choice.
Okay, because
I'm astounded.
Because I could draw so many inferences from what she did in life, and to, you know, biblical,
mm-hmm.
to her love for the music, her love for nature, and all that she did. I could see all of that and relate to all of that, and that's why I chose her. For this month.
She's a multifaceted woman.
Exactly. As we are today.
Excellent choice, though.
As we are today. So, I gotta ask you now, yes. Who is your choice?
Wow. There could be so many. Like, my number one, I mean, right now, I am currently obsessed with Michelle Obama.
Okay, now, tell us why. Why?
She was the backbone of President Barack Obama's presidency.
Indeed.
She was. There was a lot that she did on the back end that helped him be as great as he was.
And he is. And he acknowledges that.
And he acknowledges that. There was an interview I saw her in, and someone asked her, how does it feel to be the wife of the President of the United States? And she looked at him like, first of all, he is the President of the United States because I'm his wife. I said, go ahead, Michelle. Go ahead, Auntie Michelle.
Yes.
She is so powerful, and she's eloquent, and she's regal, as you described Queen Sophie.
Yes.
She embodies a strong woman, period, but a strong black woman. Even though she didn't hold political office, we still got to see a black woman hold power in a political form.
Exactly.
I think one of the greatest things that I was most inspired by her was her love for the environment.
Yes.
She had several programs where she went to children in inner city schools and taught them how to recycle and make composting and the importance of, you know, what global warming is and what it's doing to us.
And growing your own food. It doesn't come out of a can.
Growing your own food and health and wellness, beauty.
Yes.
She's more than the everyday woman because she's beyond a dreamer. She's a doer.
Yes.
And she showed you how to do it and get it done.
Yes.
She was a wife. She is a mother, but she was still her own person.
She didn't let the office consume her.
No. And that was one thing that I read in Barack's book is that she gave him balance.
Yes.
He was like, she reminded me that, yes, I am the President of the United States, but I'm still Barack Obama.
At the end of the day,
I'm still me.
What does
that say?
I still
have core values.
I
got
to go home with you at the end of the day.
Yes.
I need you to still be grounded.
I need you to still be grounded. And she emulates, I mean, she's not perfect. I don't know her personally, you know. But, I mean, she emulates the perfect wife.
Yeah.
quote unquote.
My moment where I just fell in love with her was, again, a interview where they were asking her about her daughters.
Okay.
And she said, oh, no. Yes, we're moving into the White House, but you will be making your own bed like you do.
I know, that's right. They still had chores.
I said, you go, girl.
She wanted them to still have normalcy.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, in 8 years, we'll be leaving the White House.
And you cannot be crippled and enabled exactly. And not know how to do anything when you get out of here.
Hello, exactly.
And you may not ever live here again.
You may never live here again. Don't think that because we have servants to do this work that mm-hmm. you're going to escape mm-hmm. from your everyday normal life. That's a true mom. That's a mommy.
That is a mommy.
Okay.
That's my mommy.
Mommy said, I got to make my bed. We are in the White House. I still got to clean and make my bed. I can't throw my clothes everywhere. I got to do.
Don't be out here acting a fool like you don't have no home training.
Exactly. I got to do my homework. Okay. I don't care if I got Secret Service agents following me around. I got to do that. You have got to do what is right. Yes.
Yes. But they reminded me of an everyday black family still. Like, even though they were in office and living in the White House and, you know, I still call him President Obama. He's still my president. Okay. He is always going to be President Obama. And they still reminded you of an everyday, ordinary black family because they still were.
Exactly.
They were not jaded.
No. It was, we're here on a mission.
Right.
And
we're going to job serving a purpose.
We're serving a purpose. And you always see that when you look at Michelle Obama.
But I've never seen a more hands-on first lady in all my life.
Yeah, exactly.
And granted, you know, yes, I am young and I've only been legal to vote in 2 elections. However, my family is big on politics.
But from a historical perspective.
Yes. My family doesn't play that. Yeah. We learned the importance of voting at young ages. Like, voting is highly celebrated in my family, yes. And it is highly encouraged. It's basically mandatory. You're going to
yes.
vote.
I do the same thing.
And my parents made sure that I understood how to study, you know, political parties and people's campaigns, so I knew who I was voting for when that time came.
Because your vote is worth something.
And it is!
And, you know, she even had campaigns expressing that, but expressing it in such a way where she was educating people.
But after them being in office, I vote completely differently now. I also look at the wife or the spouse of whoever is running now.
Because why?
Because a vote for who's running is a vote for their spouse too.
Exactly.
It
because
is.
They are very, very influential.
But we've never had a more hands-on first lady.
No.
We've never had not hands-on, impactful.
Yes.
She was influential and made impact.
And I think
she had still
children.
Is.
Yes. Yes. And she's doing it in a manner that is, how can I put this? Not in your face, but subtle.
Yeah. She's not doing it for the likes
yes.
and the follows
yes.
and the clout and the influence. She did it out of pure and genuine intent, and all of those other things came later.
Exactly. It was sort of like that was an add-on to the package.
I love her humility.
And I think for
I
me,
love her she's got confidence, but
yes.
she's got humility.
That's the best part. And here we are talking about, and I applaud her because I don't know if I could do some of the things that she's done. We're talking
yeah.
about a woman who graduated from a prestigious Ivy League school with
had
a law degree.
Had her own identity. Had her own career path.
Thank you. I can
Sis
go,
had it going on.
I can go and do anything.
Yes.
Okay? I can open up a law firm. I can open up an investment firm. I can start a movie studio. I can do anything I want to do under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
But her humility was like, okay, well, this is what we're going to work with first.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put Barack in a position to where he can be. You know, people always say they would have loved to have seen the combination of her and someone else running for president and vice president.
Listen, I
can,
know
can
she
can you imagine?
Because
no,
she said
not.
She was she's, not going
she said
to.
She's not going to.
But I was so team Michelle Obama.
And somebody.
Okay. And somebody. And another woman.
Okay, because
that would have been
I
one heck
see,
of an election.
Thank you. I could see her carrying.
Yeah.
I could see her, you know, it's not I'm going to overpower you and overtake you, but I'm going to walk side by side
with you.
With you. And I know how to do that because I've had experience.
Yeah.
And she shows that, you know, that grace. And when I say that grace, I mean in any environment, because think about it. They've had to entertain people from all over the globe.
Right. And people who have probably already had their preconceived notions yes. about her and opinions and beliefs and ignorant comments and yes. statements. Yes. I mean, you already know.
Yes.
And I remember at one point in time, the media attacked her.
Yes.
Viciously.
All the time.
And honey, she came
especially back. In the beginning.
Yes.
In the beginning.
They had a huge problem with her.
You know, and it, to me, it spoke to how small-minded when people are, when all you can think about is this woman is wearing an outfit with no sleeves. Really?
Really. And she looked good,
thank
first
you.
Of all.
All right. She didn't have the hello arms that I do. Okay?
I'm so done with you. But she was still modest and she looked fashionable.
Yes.
Still presentable.
Yes.
Modest. But there was nothing wrong with the outfit.
But this is what we wear every day.
Right.
Okay. What did she say? Oh, no. I got these from Payless, baby.
I love her.
I'm not spending a whole lot of money.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. For a pair of shoes that will only go with one outfit. Are you serious? Really?
Right. Why would I do that?
Why would I do that? That's not
Speaking
economical.
Of her fashion sense, though, can we just talk about this outfit at the inauguration?
Oh, girl.
Auntie Shell, you did that.
Mm.
You did that. That monochromatic suit she had on, the burgundy jacket, and the shirt, and the pants, and her edges was laid,
yes.
and her hair was flowing. She looked good. When I saw them walking out, I started crying, I'm not gonna lie. I saw them together, and I was like, this is the last time we're gonna see them back here
yes.
again.
Yes, but she again.
She holds her own.
It's like a yes. compliment. Okay, so for our sisters and our women out there everywhere, when you look at that picture, that is a woman who is complimenting her husband.
Yes, she's not behind him.
Exactly.
She's not a shadow in the background.
Exactly. She is complimenting him.
I mean, she is just as much of a presence as he is.
Exactly.
Like when she walks into a room, she commands a room.
Yes.
When he walks into a room, when he commands a room. But when they walk into a room together,
it's a totally different
you
power.
You don't see just him.
Yes. Because she is very, very present.
Oh, I love it.
And you don't get to see that.
She's a force.
Exactly. In a lot of women. You don't.
No.
Especially women who have been married to presidents.
Right.
You know, it's like you've got to fight for every little thing. No. Because it was like they were equal when they walked into a room. You see my position and you see his position as well.
Yes.
And I thought that was so spectacular. I thought her being who she was and her background and where she came from had a lot to do with her acceptance across the globe.
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
I'm not just here in the United States, but across the globe. And I believe she understood that impact that she had. I really do. And
yeah.
I think
used it wisely.
And used most importantly, exactly. She used it wisely. There are people who try to monopolize on that thing, that it, that special.
No, she just was.
Je ne sais quoi.
Right.
And she was like, no, this is who I am.
I'm just going to be.
I'm just going to be me. And I'm going to be a subtle influencer.
Yeah.
And that's what I always tell people. She was a subtle influencer. And
but she knew she was there.
Exactly. And she influenced a great number of young women.
Yeah.
Not just black women, white women, Asian women.
Yes.
All types of women that, yes, you have the power to command who you want to be. And, you know, it's interesting. She did that because she has daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And another subtle, I'm teaching.
Yes. She's teaching by example.
Exactly.
She is the perfect example of a woman who did not dim her light so her husband could shine brighter.
Exactly.
And she also knew that with her husband's light shining, her light shined too.
Exactly. I can't really name another female that I know of that did that.
Yeah, off the top of my head.
I mean, I can't really recall.
A lot of times we feel like we have to take the back seat.
Exactly.
And we naturally will just do so without even thinking about it. And
it's his turn to, like,
I didn't see that from her.
Yeah, when I look at Hillary took a back seat. And I don't think she wanted to, but right. the time was not there.
Right. And it was a different day and age.
Exactly.
For her.
Because if you look at her background and you look at all the things that she's done, from New York to Arkansas, from going to school, from living with missionary parents, to everything that she took a backseat. Now, I will say this, and President Clinton, no shade on you, but she was more astute than he was.
Yeah.
She was smarter. She was more intellectual, but unfortunately, she was a woman.
Yep.
And like you said, when she walked into the room, they saw him. They didn't see him in her.
No. It was only him.
It was only him.
You knew of her.
Yeah.
You knew she existed.
Yes. But you did not see them as equal, or you didn't see both of their lights shining when they walked into a room. And to me, that was unfortunate. And that's why I say I can't recall a woman in history who was married, who had the same power that Michelle Obama had when she walked into a room with her spouse.
It daggone sure wasn't Melania.
Being a foreign woman, I don't think she understood the power or the concept.
Wow. Maybe not.
No. I don't think that she understood. So when I look at women and I look at what Michelle has done, she has set a trend.
And continues to do. But she's that, still killing it.
Yeah. That women really, really need to think about, especially married women or married women who are married to powerful men. I don't know if you can give lessons in this.
Right.
I don't know if you can write a book about this. But it is that subtle, unspoken, equal power.
Yeah. But I think a lot of it has to come from your husband feeling that way and respecting you.
Because he was
in
comfortable.
That light too.
Yeah, he was comfortable with her.
President Obama was not intimidated by her.
Yes.
He was not intimidated by how powerful she was. Honestly, I think that's the reason why he loved her so much.
Yes.
He loves her so
yes.
much.
Yes. Because he knew, look, the man knew what he had.
Thank you.
Okay, look,
I got
a jewel over here. I know
yes.
this. Okay.
He knew having a powerful, strong woman at his side was only going to benefit him.
Exactly.
It doesn't, why do men think that emasculates them? It does not emasculate you just because I'm strong.
Because I think society had to come up with an excuse.
Yeah.
And that was it.
We were inferior for so long.
Yes.
So.
Let's give a title to it and
this
will be our excuse. But, you know, just to see that, it's like, no, she did not let her husband's position of authority diminish her authority.
Come on now. That's why I love her.
Yes.
That's why I love her. And Becoming was amazing. I am reading that book for the second time
now. Second time.
I just like, first of all, it felt like it gave me some insight on some things that I didn't know.
Give me one example.
How she felt. The book Becoming, it is truly her voice as Michelle Obama, not the president's wife.
Okay.
And I think the biggest lesson I gathered from that book is no matter how old you are ever changing. You
yes.
are ever evolving. You are ever growing. And stagnancy, complacency in being stagnant is never the standard. It's never okay.
Exactly.
And no matter what season you're at in life, go with it. Grow with it.
Yes.
And that's what she did.
Yes.
She said there were moments where she felt like she lost herself during, you know, his time in office.
Because there was so much going on. There was so,
right.
he was being attacked from every imaginable
yes.
angle that one could imagine.
And even those unimaginable because he was a black man
yes.
and our first black president. And she said that's why she was so active and involved. Because she was like, I needed something for me.
Mm-hmm.
I needed something. She was like, look, I knew that this was going to benefit me too. We decided together as a family to serve in this area.
Yes. And it was a family affair.
And I loved that that's how she put that.
Yes.
I feel like as women, we do get so lost in being wives and mothers. And then others of us are afraid to become wives and mothers
because we fear
the loss of ourselves. And I mean, honestly, the title in itself, Becoming,
yes.
you would think is self-explanatory. But you have to read.
It's a little
book.
Bit deeper than because you're always
so
evolving. You're always becoming
deeper.
But you know, it's interesting that you say that And that's a wonderful topic for Women's History Month.
Becoming.
Yes, because we are becoming mm-hmm. and we are evolving. The hard part is to map out what it is and where it is we want to go with it.
Yes.
You know, and I'm amazed at what you said when you said that some young women are fearful of that. And it reminds me of things that I've heard my daughter say that, you know, I don't want to be all like you are. I'm like, what do you mean like I am? Well, you're married, you're taking care of your kids, you're going to work, you got all this going on. And you make it seem like it's just so effortless. I'm like, yeah, because when you've been doing it for so long, it becomes second nature.
Right.
But you have your moments where you're just, yeah, where I don't include you guys and it's just me.
Right. And that's how I stay sane and not kill you all.
It's, you have to, and that's the part that we forget sometimes. We are so busy doing for others. And I will say this, my husband said something yesterday. I was typing a paper or doing something, and he said, it's 3:00. And I'm like, yes, Mackie, I'm very well aware of what time it is.
It was 3 a.m. or 3 p.m.?
3 p.m.
Okay.
So are you going to the pool? Yeah, I'm good. You need to do you. Because you're always doing others.
Aww.
And it blew me away.
But that probably meant so much coming from him.
It did, because he noticed. Mm-hmm. He knew, you're in the zone. I need to pull you out of the zone so that you can go get in your zone.
But you know what it is? He appreciates you.
Yeah.
And he values
you. He saw that.
He sees that that's a need.
That blew me away that he saw that, you know, because when you're young and you're in your marriage, younger, mm-hmm. we just had an anniversary not too long ago.
Oh, congratulations.
You know, you're busy trying to navigate those waterways. And, you know, as your marriage gets more and more seasoned, your spouse starts to notice things. Honey, he ain't going to notice things early on in the marriage. I'll just let that go. Look, if you've been married under 10 years, don't expect that oh moment.
That okay. Wisdom yet.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Okay.
But I was just amazed that he knew that. And yes, you know, I did get dressed. I did go to the pool. And I did have a great time while I was there. And I did swim. So I was very, very, very surprised when he said that. It made me feel good. Mm-hmm. But, you know, getting back to Michelle and Queen Sophie.
Yes.
Do you see similarities?
Yes. Huge.
Yes.
Women, we are the backbone. We are the movers and the shakers.
Yes.
We are the doers.
Yes.
We really are. Like, you know, again, men just have the forward vision. They know what the end goal is, but we execute.
And it is I will say this.
It's us.
It is us. It is a privilege for me. I enjoy being a woman because that means I have so much power and I have the ability to exert or not exert said power.
Oh, I like that.
Okay. And it's just, you know, only as one gets older does one realize this.
Yes.
So I impart this on young women everywhere. You have the power.
We really do.
You need to realize that early on in a relationship.
We have started and ended wars.
Yes.
Just because of what we've gotten between our legs.
Yes.
We do have the power.
Yes. Yes. No, I mean, from a historical perspective, yes. Wars have been started over women.
Yes.
You know, or the wanting thereof,
yes.
or the possession thereof.
Yes.
And, you know, I look at that and I say to myself, wow, yeah, that does say you have a lot of power.
Think about it. You fear what you don't know or can't understand. And men don't know anything or understand anything about vaginas.
No, they don't.
We have the power. We've always had the power, which is why we've been made to think we were inferior this whole time.
Exactly. And you can't vote and you can't do this and you can't do that. Yeah, it's interesting because I think only in the 21st century that a lot of that information has become available to us. Mm-hmm. And we're reading it more, we're absorbing it more, and we're understanding it more. but to just utilize those jewels and nuggets, you know, it's funny because people will say, well, you know, very, very powerful women are always lonely. I don't think that's true.
I don't think so either.
I think that very powerful women have expectations.
Thank you.
That some men don't want to live up to.
Thank you. Because we need you for more than just sex and money.
Yeah. And it's that other thing, that emotional thing, that guarded thing that I want to say I see younger brothers today. Younger men today have a tough time with, because, you know, I can go buy you that beautiful diamond ring, but can I pour my heart out to you and have a conversation with you?
Can you tell me your fears, can your I tell wants, you,
can,
your dreams?
Exactly. Can I express who I am?
Can you
really
unpack with me?
Yes. And that's the part that is precious to us.
Yes.
That they will not give.
Nope.
Not readily.
No. Right.
Okay.
Right.
It's going to take 15 years of marriage for you to get that.
Week. Just hang in there, honey.
15 years of long relationship, constant relationship for you to get that. No, and I, you know, I say that in jest, but, you know, when I look at your generation and I look at the things that are there, I can see it happening sooner, but for women who are older, they're still looking for that.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. They are really still looking for that. So, you know, for me, all of the dynamics of Women's History Month goes far beyond the suffrage movement, far beyond the voting, but into that which is the construct of a woman.
Come on,
of
now.
A powerful woman.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh my goodness. So, yes, I reached back into history with Sophie.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And you reached forward into history with Michelle.
That was a good one.
And, you know, we see the same graceful dynamics and the same graceful handling of power, but still moving on.
Yes.
To create and leave legacy. Because, you know, as you said before, her light was never diminished when she walked into a room with Obama.
No, never. You knew exactly who she was. You know, and you felt her as soon as she entered.
That is what I want.
Amen. Me
okay?
too.
That's what I want for every young woman that is out there. I want that type of grace. I want that type of elegance. I want that type of self-assuredness.
Yes.
Now, here's the hard question, and here's the homework for everybody out there. How do we get it?
Right?
Exactly. How do we get it?
If someone finds the answer, please contact me at 540.
Yeah, exactly. How do we get it? And it's not an overnight kind of thing.
It's not, but it's possible.
Exactly.
We have to stop thinking that the scarcity of a thing means it's impossible.
Exactly.
It is possible.
And I'm going to suggest we start with educating ourselves. We start with reading and researching as much on the topic that we feel gives us that grace.
Yeah.
You know, and you start from there and you build upon there. You start to consider choices that you're making and weigh them more carefully than you have in the past.
Definitely.
You know, because that's going to get you to where you want to be. You know, I don't know if Barack was the first person that she ever dated.
I'm not sure either.
But I know he was the last.
I know, that's right.
Okay. So he fulfilled some requirements.
Yes.
That she had
set. He came with it. He came correct.
Exactly. He fulfilled some requirements that she had had in the past, that she had pathed out for herself. So that's how we begin to move forward as women and get that, oh God, we have to find a name for this.
Yeah.
There's got to be some sort of definition. And I do say je ne sais quoi, but that's not really it.
It's not.
It's
but we know what you mean.
Yeah, but it's more than that.
In us.
Yes. It's buried deep inside you because it was in that 17-year-old queen.
Right.
And it came up and out, and she was able to rule accordingly and with grace. The same thing for Michelle.
That essence.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, so
it's something.
Hey, listeners, if you got a name for it, you please, please, please email us and let us know so we can define it. But yes, it's that thing which is embedded in all of us that makes us great in our own right. So we have to search for that. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been absolutely spectacular. I learned a lot.
I definitely learned a lot.
So Women's History Month, it's not just Women's History Month. It's not just the suffrage movement.
Come on now.
It's a lot more than that. So we here at the Substance of Life Experience thank you for listening to us today. And Ashley,
yes, ma'am.
I need to know, what should we expect from her messy 20s?
So we are doing something as well for Women's History Month. We're kind of taking a different spin on it. Okay. We are getting ready to launch a new series. Okay. We haven't named it yet, so I can't give you a name for it yet.
Okay.
But definitely be looking for something from us for Women's History Month.
Okay.
We're so excited to celebrate who we are.
Exactly.
Where we've been, how far we've come, and where we want to go next.
Exactly. Where we want to go next.
Just the celebration of us.
And that's the part that I'm looking at. Because we have yet to really scratch the areas. And maybe in our next episode, we'll talk about two women scientists who received a Nobel Peace Prize last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all about gene splicing.
I've heard of that.
For the
yes.
sickle cell
yes.
Trait. And how they isolated the gene, was able to cut it out and put in a new gene so that those who went through sickle cell would not have as much pain or have
wow.
as many episodes. That's be my next topic for Women's History Month. And I know some of you are saying, why? Because the gene does run in my family.
Yeah.
And I have seen relatives go through episodes. And the fact that
I have a friend who suffers.
Yeah,
and it's devastating.
It is. These two women have discovered a possible cure. I am so excited. So that's going to be our next topic we're going to talk about for Women's History Month, and give a little bit of information about that. And hopefully people will be inspired,
yes.
educated, and
yes.
entertained.
Always.
So this is Angela and Ashley. We thank you for joining us, and we look forward to your next visit with us at the Substance of Life Experience.